Please be seated. Our next matter on calendar this morning is 67328, Adamiska versus Adamiska. Mr. McDonald?
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel, good morning. Ryan McDonald on behalf of appellant Marius Adamski, who is present today with his family. We're here today because the family court below refused to exercise its rightfully acquired jurisdiction in deciding this child custody matter. Marius and respondent Anna Adamski were married and had two young children, Natalia and Dorota. They lived in Henderson for about 7 months. In December of 2013, Anna decided to abduct the children and remove them to Poland. Marius initially did not know what was going on and contacted the authorities to report his children missing. Anna later called him or texted him and said that the children were safe, but they would not be returning to the United States. Marius subsequently filed an action for divorce and child custody in the family division of the clerk of the 8th Judicial District. And that case proceeded. Meanwhile, he also filed an action in Poland under the Hague Convention for the retrieval of his unlawfully abducted children. The Polish Hague Court, in deciding the case under that convention, decided that the children were in fact illegally abducted, but declined to offer any relief to Marius based on its finding that Marius subjected the children to, quote, unbearable conduct. Meanwhile, in the family division here, the district court made various orders relating to visitation and how the children and Anna were going to come here and what the circumstances of that would be. Essentially, those orders were either disavowed or ignored. A motion to dismiss for inconvenient form was filed, and the district court, without hearing any evidence in the case, essentially decided the motion on the pleadings and declined to exercise jurisdiction, even though it recognized that jurisdiction.
Mr. McDonald, again, we appreciate it. I understand what your clients went through with how the children were taken back in Poland, but the Polish court heard it. And I don't know what the appellate process is in Poland, but if you don't agree with the trial court level there, wasn't there remedies to file a direct appeal in Poland rather than try and relitigate it in Nevada?
Well, essentially the issues are different. The district court in this case basically accorded some kind of preclusive effect, particularly to unbearable actions or whatever they termed it, construed that as domestic violence and applied some kind of conclusive effect to that the Hague Court had conclusively found domestic violence existed and applied that to
Polish
statutory
Polish court. Right. Found. Not the Hague Court, you meant the Polish court.
I've been using those interchangeably.
I want to make sure they weren't in the Netherlands.
Hague Convention Court perhaps would be more accurate. But the Polish court found the undue burdens or unbearable actions. But it was under the Hague Convention proceeding. That was not a child custody litigation. That was litigation under this international treaty that had different standards. And so the issues are different. And so for the district court in this case to find some kind of issue preclusion when the issues are different, I think is inappropriate.
Is the district court precluded from accepting any of these findings or taking stock of it in terms of issuing its degree that it would not intervene at this point because of jurisdictional limitations?
No.
Because you made the point before in terms of the court held a hearing. The court made a determination based upon pleadings before it. They did not have an evidentiary hearing.
Right. There was no evidence in this case. So I think as a matter of perhaps historical fact, the district court here in Nevada could have, I guess as a procedural matter, noted that the Hague proceeding was denied as to Marius' application, and Marius' appeal was also denied. But I don't think that that has any kind of preclusive effect, or I don't think that should influence the factual determination, and I believe it should be an independent factual determination of any kind of domestic violence or any other of the factors under 125A365.
Did the Polish court give him any visitation rights? Does he have any visitation rights? Has he seen his children though?
And so once again, it's important to kind of separate. When I talk about Polish court, let me be more specific. There was the Hague proceeding that was completed and appealed. So that case is final as to the Hague claims. There is a Polish court domestic case that Anna filed that has been stayed pending the resolution of this case. So there has been no initial, I believe there's been an initial child support award, but I don't think there's been any further determinations pending the stay of that case and this appeal.
What would you like us to do as a panel? What would the order say, or the opinion in favor of your client? What would it say?
It would say that the district court order should be reversed because there was no independent evidence adduced, and thus an evidentiary hearing is required before any determination on declining jurisdiction could be made. And
did your client request the evidentiary hearing in family court?
Yes, in fact, an evidentiary hearing was initially contemplated, and I don't know if it had been scheduled, but the case was proceeding towards an evidentiary hearing until the issue of inconvenient form was raised. This case kind of developed as the district court became more familiar with the facts underlying the Hague proceeding.
Well, from the legal, I have just a legal question, and I'm not saying we agree with it or disagree with it, but if the court makes a legal determination that it is an inconvenient forum, do you have to have an evidentiary hearing to make that determination? I mean, what I think happened, I think that when that issue was raised, the judge looked at that inconvenient forum issue and just said, I can rule on this as a matter of law without an evidentiary hearing. And I'm just saying, is that wrong? I mean, does she have the right to do that or not?
I do believe that is wrong, particularly when you have contested issues of fact.
Mm-hmm. The real question, I guess, for me is that A, was a proffer made to the court as to why an evidentiary hearing would have been necessary in light of the findings with both parties litigating in the Hague court presentation, and also the subsequent issues that occurred here. The court had the gist of what was going on, so what could have been produced to mandate the court needing to have an evidentiary hearing, or was not the court apprised of all facts that were presently before the court?
No, I'd agree that perhaps the family court had a gist of what's going on. I do not think it's sufficient for an independent finding of domestic violence, and that's where the court rested its hat, is on this domestic violence issue, and that's why I'm returning to it, because if you read the record and the record of these hearings, the court is definitely concerned, you know, about the dolls and all of the accusations that were raised in the psych exams of the children incident to the Hague court.
Well, I guess I'm listening to that. If that's the issue, then the court could have been very draconian and said, we adopt these findings, we're going to grant the party full custody and everything else, opposed to saying we find this forum is not convenient.
I'm not sure that the court appropriately could adopt findings that are in a different type of proceeding. So the cases where courts have found preclusive effect as to determinations of foreign courts have been in child custody cases. The case that was litigated in Poland was not a child custody case. It was a case under the Hague Convention. So, you know, and it's important to note as well that in its order, the court specifically said that it was not considering any, I'm talking about the Polish court under the Hague proceeding, specifically said that it was not considering any evidence submitted by Marius. It basically was an ex parte determination, and the only evidence that I believe was adduced there is the psychological reports of the experts in Poland who had analyzed the children. I think it's important also to bring Druckmann into this and the concerns that are elucidated, both by the majority and the dissent in that case, that relocation, non-consensual relocation or abduction should not be rewarded when you're interpreting how these statutes should be evaluated. So in 365, there are eight or so different non-exhaustive factors that the court should consider. However, the court needs to consider them only prior to the abduction. So when the allegations of domestic violence arise, it's months after the children have been abducted and isolated from their father. The same goes to all of the other factors that the district court credited: the distance, the location of the evidence, the familiarity of the foreign court with the evidence. All of these things are the result of the abduction. So there's distance because Anna abducted the children. All of these factors should be evaluated in that light, and we should not reward the abductor for this behavior. And I believe that is implicitly what the district court did.
Who requested the stay of the Polish family court? Not The Hague, but the Polish family court. Who requested the stay?
I believe my client. Because at some point, Anna tried to assert that the proceedings had concluded because the district court case, the family court case, had concluded, and Marius intervened and said, no, we're still on an appellate posture, so the case is not final.
I'd be more comfortable if at least we knew what happened in the Polish family court as far as his visitation and rights and stuff. I mean, he has no rights right now with the children. And time's passing.
The court, yes, time is passing, and my client is acutely aware of that. But the Polish court is stayed pending the resolution of this case.
Did you wish to reserve the
balance of your time? Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. McFarland?
Good morning. I'm Anna McFarland for the respondent, Anna Adamska. The district court in a custody proceeding, when it's determining whether or not to take child custody jurisdiction, the starting point is that our statute that gives initial jurisdiction for child custody, the primary purpose is to make sure we don't have two courts that are both exerting jurisdiction. So our entire statutory scheme under the UCCJEA starts with a starting point of, let's not make sure that there are too many states, that there's more than one state exercising jurisdiction. So the wording in the various statutes that apply to this case give an enormous amount of discretion to a court to not take jurisdiction, and in fact put the burden on there being absolute requirements met in order to exercise jurisdiction. So the starting point in this appeal of, this court had jurisdiction because there was home state here, and that because it's not like a latch that attaches and now you're stuck and Nevada has jurisdiction. Just because the children were here for 6.5 months, and mind you, they were only here, the majority of their lives were in Poland, everybody. 6.5 months here, and the undisputed record shows that the reason they were here six and a half months, is because Dad had locked up the children's and Mom's passports, and so she couldn't leave. We have a statute that allows a court to decline jurisdiction because of the conduct of the party. The court didn't use that. They used the inconvenient forum analysis, and the analysis that the court did in this case, the clear reading of the statute says the court shall allow the parties to submit information and shall consider all relevant factors. But it says the court may decline to exercise jurisdiction. There's a lot of latitude, and as the appellate court, you have to give deference to the trial court position, especially when we're dealing with a statute that's not a mandatory, the court may choose to decline. As long as it reviews the record. As long as it has a reason, and we know from the recent Davis case, a lot of family court cases will come with not a lot of analysis, not a lot of findings, and we need that. But in this case, we had it. So even without having had an evidentiary hearing, in this case here in Nevada, we had findings of fact from another court, and we had undisputed facts that were presented in the pleadings. There's a ton of motion-type pleadings filed in this case that gives the court information sufficient to make a determination without actually having a proceeding where people are testifying.
Let me ask you this one, Farah. I'm a little confused on the record here. No, I was rereading it and make sure I have it right. On this evidentiary hearing issue, there's a series of hearings, as Mr. McDonald pointed out, the cases were leading towards an evidentiary hearing. The record, according to what I've read here, doesn't say that it was requested by his client, nor did his client object to the court not having an evidentiary hearing. Am I right or wrong?
Correct. I agree with you on that. So there was a trial or an evidentiary hearing that was set on custody in July, I believe. It was vacated and reset again, I believe, in January. But that was on custody. That was not on the jurisdictional question. At the point that I filed the motion asking to relinquish or decline jurisdiction based on inconvenient forum, that July 1 had already been vacated, and there was briefing done, and the court requested that we each do briefing, and in fact the appellant did two briefs, an opening brief and a reply brief, on the issue of jurisdiction. And to my understanding, the argument that there's a requirement of an evidentiary proceeding in order for the judge to make that determination was not made in the district court, and so it's being brought for the first time here.
Was there any request that Judge Pomerantz contact the family, I'm talking about the family court in Poland, to work something out as far as visitation of these children by the father?
I do not believe there was a request to work something out, and it is my understanding that all of the requests or actions in the Polish custody or divorce case that caused it to be stayed were the result of appellant's actions. So there are two points where he could have allowed a custody proceeding to proceed in Poland instead of being stayed. One is whenever there's a Hague case pending, the court in that jurisdiction where the Hague case is pending cannot proceed with a custody determination. And so once he lost the request to have the children returned, he appealed the Hague decision. And by appealing the Hague decision, he then could not initiate proceedings in Poland for custody, and that was his choice. And then with the divorce and custody case that was initiated by my client in Poland, it could have been proceeding, but he has been the one who has requested that it be stayed. And I might point out, as far as the visitation, because it sounds like you're concerned about his lack of ability to have contact or visitation during the time that this case is going on. Judge Pomerantz, in this case, well, there were orders for the children to come to Nevada. There was a very clear orders that if he went to Poland, if Dad went to Poland, that he could visit with the children. And there is nothing in the record that indicates that that visitation would have been denied. And in fact, he went to Poland to be in the Hague proceedings. He went to Poland, he was involved in the court proceedings there, and did not elect to visit the children. And that history, and the fact that he is fighting this through the court system, and really what he wants is for the children to be back in Nevada, he doesn't even bother to visit them in Poland, really gets us to this domestic violence issue and why it's such a key point. Well, and I think it was pointed out that the domestic violence was a primary element of the court's decision. I'd submit that even if there wasn't domestic violence, the court could have and properly found an inconvenient forum, even if there hadn't been. But the domestic violence gets us to looking at the bigger picture. We have a man who, the domestic violence that was found by the court in Poland, has to do with controlling behavior and initiating proceedings and causing his ability to actually get contact with the children.
There's kind of an underlying concern in this case. We have, it doesn't seem that the court took Druckmann or domestic violence and analyze two together to decide whether we have inconvenient form or how these two things, one is given a plus and the other was given a minus. But there is a kind of an underpinning that no matter what was done here, Poland might not honor a decree of this court in terms of this court saying return the children.
Correct.
So I just kind of put it and said, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I just say it's inconvenient.
And that's...
Did the court just not do what it was supposed to do and adjudicate this matter?
Even after, so there was a hearing where in Hague, in cases that involve the Hague, the district court can get input from a judge familiar with Hague law, and Judge Pomerantz held a hearing with Judge Garbolino, who did give input in that the enforceability of a Nevada custody order might be limited in Poland. And in fact, the fact that the court in Poland in a Hague proceeding refused to return the children and on appeal upheld that decision does give a limited enforceability to this court. And this inconvenient forum statute, I mean, that they go hand in hand. So we don't want to have a situation where a court here is entering custody orders that are unenforceable in the place where the children actually reside. And it's not like throwing our hands up or saying, well, because I can't do it, I'm just not going to.
But there is a concern if we're going to give the Hague Convention any validity. We have a situation, plus or minus, Nevada is the home state under this. And I understand the concerns about, is it truly a 6 month? But it was deemed 6 months, so this is home. So that says there's jurisdiction per Hague. So now to say, well, it's just a punt to form nonconvenience, kind of throws away the jurisdictional aspects set forth by the Hague in terms of the 6 month relevancy.
Well, except that
unless you factor other things in, the court didn't really seem to do that.
We have our statutory scheme on the UCCJEA. It has the initial custody determination. It has four different ways you can have jurisdiction, and you have to have one of them. You have to have one. We only had one, and the children had only been here for 6.5 months and had been gone for a period of time, a short period of time, before the case had been filed. So it was not
the
home state.
In fact, a Nevada marriage.
No, it worked. No. No, let me back up and actually relay the facts. So these children...
I know the first child was born in Poland, the second child was born in the States.
The second child was born in New York, but the parties only lived there for 4 months. So aside from the 4 months in New York, where one child was born, the parties, both children, both parents resided in Poland. Dad came, to California for a few months before coming to Nevada. But mom and the children have resided in Poland, aside from the 4 months in New York, and the 6.5 months here with passports locked up during that time period. But we have this statutory formula where the court, we don't want two courts taking jurisdiction, and even if you have home state, which we didn't have home state at the time of filing, we had home state within 6 months of the time of filing, and you have other abilities for the court to not take jurisdiction. And the reason why we have the UCCJEA that says, you can dismiss for inconvenient form. You can dismiss based upon the conduct of one of the parties. You can choose to not take jurisdiction, and there's a ton of factors that allow that at the discretion of the district court.
What bothers me is, and I'm not anti-domestic violence, I think that victims of domestic violence should be protected by the courts and by law enforcement. Did she ever make police reports here in Nevada so that we can feel comfortable that there was, in fact, domestic violence?
I don't believe so. There's nothing in the record or that I'm privy to that in the 6.5 months that they were here that she reported the incidents, but that's a pretty common thing.
If we keep on making decisions that says if you're from a foreign country, just take the children and go back to the foreign country, it makes it real difficult to try to regulate this type of thing when you have people from other countries coming to the United States and living in Nevada for the jurisdictional period.
Except we have to remember that they were just beyond the minimum threshold.
I understand that.
Minimum threshold. Whereas their connections and ties to Poland, the evidence that's in Poland, is significant. There's very little evidence here. There's very little ability for a court here to actually make a photo determination when everything's in Poland. And so just because a court meets the minimum threshold and can take jurisdiction, and because we're dealing with a foreign country, so we don't have the protocols where the two courts are necessarily going to speak and choose only one, doesn't mean the court has to. And the judge, Judge Pomerantz, did not abuse her discretion when she chose to not take jurisdiction. I mean, this case was going on for quite a long time before she made that, so it obviously wasn't something she just, a snap judgment that she jumped to easily.
Mr. Bannon, in light of that, and in light of the question that Justice Cherry asked, Poland counsel, if we were writing an order to affirm the district court, how would we do that so it's not just the district court did not abuse its discretion? How would we?
Well, number one, I mean, I would start with it did not abuse its discretion, but that the inconvenient forum statute, number one, does not require an evidentiary hearing, specifically in a case like this where we do have findings made in another court between the same parties with similar issues. So the issues that the court would have to decide, such as domestic violence, were appropriately taken from another court in a proceeding between the same two parties. But that any one of the factors listed to be considered, and the statute reads that the court shall consider all relevant factors, including, and then provides a list. That means that the court is supposed to just to look at the issue, and the statute gives us guidance as to what could be relevant factors. And in fact, in this case, aside from an agreement as to the jurisdiction, every single factor pointed towards relinquishing jurisdiction, not taking jurisdiction in this case, but the judge didn't read every single one. The judge only needed one. So even if we kick your domestic violence and say the length of time the children have resided outside the state, this is the perfect case for that type of analysis because they spent their entire lives in Poland, aside from 6.5 months here and 4 months in New York. So this is the case that this statute is meant for. It's meant for a case where we only have 6.5 months here and everything else is somewhere else. And even though we technically meet the minimum threshold, it's proper. It's not an abuse of discretion for a judge to say, this isn't properly before me. It should be done in the Polish court. And in fact, there are proceedings, they're stayed, but there are proceedings that are going on that indicate that court is willing to take jurisdiction and make a custody decision.
The appellant's the one who requested that stay in Poland.
Correct.
Thank you. Mr. McDonald?
Thank you. Some of these arguments are perfectly illustrative of the issues that I have with this case. As an appellate attorney, I'm not sure how you make assertions that are not supported by evidence in the record. For example, counsel says that the passports were locked up for some period of time, or the entire 6 months, or who knows, she just made various statements. There's no evidentiary basis for that assertion. She asserted that when he was in Poland, when Marius was in Poland, he didn't bother to visit the kids. Where is that in the record? This is why I have such problems with the evidentiary basis for the district court's conclusion. There is none. It is based on moving papers alone. Moving papers and the exhibits that were attached there too. And in fact, the district court's decision is highlighted as even more arbitrary because at one point, the judge said to Marius, I'm not going to accept the exhibits that you've attached to your moving papers. Whereas the entire basis for the evidence in this case are the moving papers and the exhibits attached thereto by Anna Donsky. So there's an inequity here. And Justice Douglas, you asked, what should the order or opinion look like? And I think it should look like this. Consent is implicitly a part of the statutory interpretation of not only 125A, 365, but all of these statutes and case law that have to do with child relocation or abduction that is not consensual. Because these factors Counsel said this was a perfect case for inconvenient forum because look at all these factors, the distance, the time spent out, the location of the evidence. But we're only here talking about inconvenient forum because of the abduction. That is the condition without which we wouldn't be talking about inconvenient forum. And so to analyze inconvenient forum based on factors that exist only after the abduction is tautological. You have to consider the fact, the underlying fact, that the children were spirited away without the consent of the co-custodial parent. There was no order of a court allowing this. Druckmann clearly says that removal cannot happen without consent of both parties barring an order of the court. That was not done in this case. What is underlying this case is an illegal act. And so to put the imprimatur of this court on the district court's decision saying that that was okay creates a big policy problem. It essentially says, Justice Cherry, that, hey.
Ms. McGonigal, I understand where you're going with that argument. I appreciate that. But what do you do? And that's almost completely ignoring the fact that there was litigation in Poland under the Hague Doctrine. What do we do with that? And wasn't that furnished to the district court here?
Was it, I'm sorry, furnished to the district court?
The outcome of that initial proceeding. Right.
As I said before, the district court knew about the proceeding. However, it's, counsel said, well, there's some kind of preclusive effect because the issues are similar. They can't be vaguely similar. They have to be the same. So if it had been a child custody determination in a Polish court that was seeking enforcement or some kind of preclusive effect in this court, absolutely. And I think that the reverse would be true as well, as far as it being this being a futile act or a futile conclusion. The Polish court, by staying the proceeding, has already intimated that it was going to respect the outcome of these proceedings. And there's no reason to think that outcome will not obtain if this is reversed and there is an order granting some kind of custodial rights to Marius.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This matter will stand submitted. We thank